In December of 2019, I took the train from my apartment in Harlem and over to Brooklyn. This is before we moved. Heading to a pop-up event featuring Tariq Black Thought Trotter, the famous lead rapper for The Roots, currently the house band on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. The evening was focused on artists and creatives of color, focused on two core questions. When was the first time you felt seen in your industry? And when was the first time you first saw yourself? The warehouse space was painted bright white with these two questions in black on the wall. And as we came in, we were given a 3x5 card and a black Sharpie to answer the questions ourselves. I was about 20 minutes early, but there were no seats at all. So I was standing on the back wall listening. And soon the founder, Jasmine Martin, came in to introduce and then interview Mr. Trotter. And first, I guess in an unsurprising way, but in a really touching way, he talked about his mother and the way in which, despite his tough kid from the South Side of Philly persona, she saw his sensitive side and signed him up for artist classes and supported his development with his artistic gifts. And then he talked about a special teacher in high school who similarly had given him encouragement just when others were writing him off as another troublemaker in the school. Being seen made all the difference, he said, in his life and career and to where he is now. And I love those two questions. When was the first time you felt seen? And when was the first time you saw yourself? They were specifically asking about professional life, but you can expand that, I think, in terms of like who you are in the world. And so I wanted to just invite you to reflect on those questions. And if you want, jot some notes on your piece of paper that I gave you. When was it the first time you felt seen? And when was the first time you saw yourself in relation to how you understand yourself in the world, who you are? In my experience, being seen involves both being seen for who you are, as in a kind of accuracy, not a projection of the fantasies of others or your fantasies about yourself, and being seen with your potential, like as in the fullness of who you are, who you could become. And in that kind of seeing and being seen, there's a profound affirmation. To see someone in this way is an act of profound love, an act, I would even use the theological term, an act of grace. In the Gospel, Luke writes to a small set of struggling Christian communities in Syria in the early second century, ones that likely suffered persecution, that if the historical record is to be believed, suffered lots of unflattering rumors about who they were and what they stood for. Into this fearful place, this space of being unseen and perhaps being unable to see themselves, Luke shares a word from Jesus to assure them. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Holy One's good pleasure to give you the new world being born, the Basileia. I use Basilean rather than the traditional translation kingdom, following the New Testament scholar Elizabeth Schisler Forenza, who intentionally leaves the word untranslated in her writings. She says it's a way to destabilize how commonly terms like the kingdom of God just play into a whole patriarchal worldview. And she points to Jesus' articulation of an alternative society, one that's free from domination, that does not exclude any. A more literal translation of this little verse from Luke would be, do not fear, little flock, for God takes delight in you. The word is eudoxin in Greek, and it literally means to delight in. So God sees us, Jesus says, and takes good pleasure or delight in us. It's a deep and holy and divine seeing of us as we are, yes, and with in mind all of our potential for good. This claim addressed to the disciples and to us is in fact exactly what God says to Jesus earlier in Luke at Jesus' baptism. A voice from heaven says, "You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." I like this simple translation. I take pleasure in you, beloved. And there you have it, I think, the core of how God regards us. Before we've gotten ourselves together, without earning it by doing all the quote right things we think that God or someone else expects of us, before any of that, Jesus says to us, "I take pleasure in you, beloved. Don't be afraid. I welcome you into the realm that does not fade away, that thieves can't steal, that moths can't harm. Here's my eternal love to which you belong, in which you can exhale and rest." A congregant recently asked me what I think I'm doing when I preach. I said a few things about attention to the world, to our lives, about deeply engaging scripture, and then I concluded by saying, most of all, I want to end with everyone knowing that God loves them. That's the most important. And in this little verse from Jesus, amidst all his teachings about how to regard possessions, how to stay alert for his return, he pauses to say, not if you do all these other things, I love you, but because I love you, because I see you and take pleasure in you, you can do all these other things. None of us needs to be stuck in the ways others see us, or even the judgmental ways we see ourselves. Jesus says, "Have no fear, little flock, for the Creator of heaven and earth takes pleasure in you too, and offers you a place at a table where the feasting does not end." We share the sermon at St. Lydia's, and we'll hold a brief silence. And then when I ring the bell, you're invited to continue the sharing space we opened earlier. And we invite sharing of stories, but not crosstalk, either praising or critiquing what others might say, so that we just hold what each shares in its integrity. And if you're a person who often shares, we invite you to just consider holding back. And if you're a person who doesn't usually share, you're invited to step in and share if that feels good to you. We begin in silence.